Good.
My new sponsor is Caffeine Lab.
By the way,
let me move this out of the way.
Thanks for coming in for this. Really appreciate it. No problem. I'm ready if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another episode of the Mo Show podcast. I have kept in Jamal Bajandouh. I've been a fan of this football player for the longest time, since his days in Ittihad. I thought that Ittihad signed Puyol the first time I saw him. Then I found out we had someone even better than him. Then he moved to Shabab and now plays in Hail. Captain Jamal, thank you so much, honestly, for coming on the show.
Honestly, thank you for having me.
Much, much appreciated. How have you been?
I've been very well, thank you. How have you been?
Alhamdulillah, good. What is it now? 57 episodes in less than 2 years. I never thought I'd reach this height, but here we are. Never thought I'd be given an opportunity to meet people like you, like Prince Abdulaziz, like many other people that I have met. So I'm enjoying myself.
That's amazing. It's an absolute privilege for me to come here. I absolutely love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Can you just give us a bit of a background on your upbringing days? Where was most of your childhood spent? Just draw a little picture for us.
So I was born in the UK, born in Bournemouth, actually. And then when I was about one or two between those, I moved to Saudi. My father's from Saudi Arabia, obviously. And yeah, honestly, my life since that age has been half Saudi Arabia, half UK. Mostly academic year was in Saudi Arabia, and then I'd move home for 3 months of the summer where the rest of my mother's family is.
In Bournemouth?
In Bournemouth, yeah.
So because I followed you on Snapchat for the longest time, and I'm a big fan of the UK and England. Forgive any English accent that might be put on during this episode. So whenever you're there, I just salivate over. I'm like, oh, there is the UK in the summer with blue skies. It's time to go to London.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a part of the year that you really look forward to as well.
Honestly, no. For me, there's nowhere like Bournemouth, especially in the summer.
Yeah, it's on the coast, right? It's by...
South Coast.
Yeah. South Coast. Fantastic. Yeah. Next to Brighton?
It's quite close to Brighton, but it's probably closer to Southampton.
Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just before we started rolling, I said, I don't think I have met anyone whose English is as good as his Arabic. Do you favor a language of the two because you speak both flawlessly, mashallah alik?
Honestly, no. I think they're both equal for me. Mm-hmm. But you're going to make me blush with all these compliments.
I'm sorry. There's time to talk about how good of a football player you are.
Oh, amazing.
speaking of football, at what age did you feel that, you know what, this is something that I can go all the way and play professionally in?
Well, I mean, the love for the sport, I can't remember when that happened. My entire family is completely in love with football, especially my father. But when I realized I was good enough to be professional, probably not until my first professional match.
Wow.
Yeah, that far ahead. It's honestly such a pipe dream for how many thousands, maybe millions of boys around the world. And yeah, I was just so blessed, alhamdulillah, that it came true for me.
Mm-hmm. So you started off professionally in England at Bournemouth FC.
Yes.
What was that experience like, though, you know, being professional that first year in Bournemouth?
Well, I played in Saudi Arabia prior to that. And then my first year professional, I wanted to start in Europe. It was just like a personal goal for me. So when I went there, probably one of the most things that stood out for me was their professionalism out there. It's just completely insane compared to what we had as youngsters playing, because I used to play in Ittihad as a youngster. And yeah, just everyone there is so professional, so dedicated. I mean, I remember looking at 14, 15 year olds that had more discipline than me. And I was just so impressed by that. And I think I took a lot of that with me that I believe helped me with my career. Mm-hmm.
How demanding is it though? I mean, between training and eating right, you can't put a foot wrong. Temptations are all around you. Was that one of the hardest things, being disciplined?
Well, at the end of the day, we are human footballers. So we're not robots. We make mistakes. I mean, we eat pizza, we go to McDonald's, whatever. It's completely fine. But the majority of the time, I'd say 90% plus, we have to be very careful with what we do, what we eat, how we sleep, because the next day you have to put 110% in every training session.
So you did a year in Bournemouth and then you decided to come to Ittihad and you joined the youth Ittihad, I think it was under 17s.
No, actually. So I was in the under, well, from the 13 until 19, I was in Ittihad. Wow. And then I moved to AFC Bournemouth and played my first professional year there.
Okay. And then you came back here.
And then I came back to Ittihad first team.
Right.
Yeah.
So between Ittihad and Shabab and now Ta'i, you know, you covered the Saudi League pretty well, but you did a year in Croatia as well.
Yes, I did.
What prompted you to go there? That's off the beaten path for you.
Yeah. So obviously after playing in Ittihad for quite a long time, it was about 6-7 years. During that time, I always had this personal goal to play in Europe. Just, I don't know, almost... It was like a personal, I wanted to prove to myself that I could play in a first European league. And yeah, I just had this opportunity where someone rang me up one day and said to me, look, there's a Croatian team in the first Croatian league that is interested in signing you. And I just thought it was crazy initially and like, kind of thought, no, that's not happening. But then I kind of like...
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. I thought, why not? And I just thought, you know what, I'll go for it. It's something I've always wanted to do. And yeah, and I went and did it. And it went pretty well for me. I got what I wanted from that experience.
Completely different. Do they even speak English?
I mean, now looking back at it, it would have been better for me if I went somewhere that speaks English.
Okay.
They don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And the mentality is completely alien to me. So it was literally like when someone says, "Tdgarrab for makan." Yeah, that was it for me.
But certainly a learning experience. You know.
Oh, massively, massively. And yeah, like I said, I really genuinely believe I got what I wanted from that experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy I took that decision.
Excellent. Good stuff. We learn from being uncomfortable, and it was probably uncomfortable for 100%. A bit. You know, we definitely grow from that. You played with some stars, all right, some legends of the game in your time. Is there one, not one, just one that comes to the top of your mind who you can recall that had the biggest impact on your career?
Honestly, there's so many amazing players, but I normally like to watch specific players and almost take parts of their game and adapt it into mine. Top of my head, obviously, Mohamed Noor is one of the first people that come to mind. Then we've got Carlos Villanueva.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah.
San Martin, if you remember him.
Of course.
Oh, class, that man. and recently, probably Ever Banega from Shabab. He is just another level.
Striker?
He's a midfielder.
Midfielder, okay.
Yeah.
The game's changed a lot in Saudi. I remember back in the day, only 2 foreigners per team. Now you look at the Saudi league, there's almost more foreigners than Saudi players.
Yeah.
Do you like where the league is right now, where it's going in terms of watchability?
So if I'm talking about watchability and level, the league is just fire. So much further ahead than everyone in the same region, maybe in Asia. Mm. So, and I definitely think the 7 foreigner decision has had that impact in the Saudi league is amazing. It's a bit unfortunate for the Saudi players. Obviously, it's a lot more difficult for us to play. Yeah. We have 7 foreigners on the pitch now. 7. Yeah.
Even in Thai?
Every team.
Every team has 7.
Every team. So that's why even the small teams now are playing against Hilal, Nasr, Ahli, Ittihad, of course. And the bigger teams are struggling with them. Wow. So, yeah. It's just made the league so much stronger and tougher than it's ever been.
More competitive as well.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
It's like in England, 19v20 is a watchable game. Over here, they're like the 2 teams at the bottom of the, that's a good game to watch.
What exactly?
Standards.
Exactly. The standard in every team is just, yeah. I mean, you can tell in the Asian Cup now, Saudi teams are just slaying everyone else.
Yeah. You saw the Hilal Chelsea. And that shouldn't have even been a win to Chelsea. And I'm a Chelsea fan.
No, that was a game for Saudis to be proud of.
It's come a long way.
Yeah.
Come a long way. Are you happy with finishing off your career in Saudi, or if an opportunity comes to go to another league, would you welcome it?
Honestly, it depends on the situation. Obviously, I have family in the UK, so playing in the UK maybe would be something nice, but I'm very comfortable in Saudi Arabia, in the Saudi League. I'm happy. It's very competitive, like we said. And yeah, it's a privilege for me to stay in it for as long as possible.
Yeah. You had some moments in your career. Is there one that stands out for you that was your best moment? Can you paint that picture for us?
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked this question before, and it's always the first one that comes to mind. It's my first championship with Ittihad. It was Crown Prince Cup against Nasser in Riyadh. And it was my first championship ever on a professional level. Mm-hmm. And I just remember as soon as the ref like whistled the final whistle, I just fell on the floor and looked up to the sky and was just like, I can't believe this is happening. And the feeling is just, you feel like you're floating, honestly.
It all pays off.
Sorry?
It all pays off.
It really, really does. Yeah. Really does.
How physical is the sport? Do you feel banged up like the next morning? Are you in pain?
I mean, I'm on ibuprofen right now, but.
Because it's physical sport, huh?
Yeah,
like you eat an elbow or two, or you know you're knocked on the ground.
It's more the impact, especially if you've had quite a long career. The impact it has on your knees, your ankles, just walking around in the shops these days, it's not that easy. It's a very, very physically demanding sport.
You spend more time stretching and getting yourself into game ready mode. A lot more icing as you hit 30.
Yes, but that's when injury prevention comes in. So we do a lot more injury prevention than we ever did. I mean, I remember when I was 22, what is warm up to me? I just run onto the pitch and start shooting balls. But now I have to like plan my day, make sure I have like good sleep, eat well, whatever. Yeah, it takes a lot of maintenance.
For many people, football is like a dream job. Would you agree with that, or are there some less glamorous parts to the profession?
I completely agree. Even after all this time, it is an absolute dream job, and I'm absolutely blessed to be in the position I am in. But there are a lot more not so glamorous, like you said, aspects of being a professional footballer than people believe.
What are the less glamorous parts?
Less glamorous. So obviously, it takes up maybe most of your life. So obviously every match I have to travel away. Sometimes you have to play abroad, so you're away from your family a lot of the time. And you miss weddings. For example, I missed one of my sister's weddings because it is a very demanding, you have to be there at this time type of job, which there are no excuses for in football. So I would say that's one of the top ones. Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're out in public, I would imagine many people, especially in the Western region, because we know Ittihad fans are what they're like. Are you able to walk out, to a mall or a restaurant without people crowding you?
I mean, look, for everyone's different with regards to that. For me, I actually don't mind it because I believe that if the fans love you, that's an absolute blessing from Allah. And yeah, I appreciate it and welcome it. Obviously, some people are quite handsy, so it gets a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. Or when I'm with my family and they really don't respect personal space.
That's annoying. That's annoying if you're with the family.
I mean, I understand where they're coming from. They're excited. They're whatever. But at the same time, it is my family, so it's a little bit tricky to navigate that. But I absolutely love the fans.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning when I said, you got to be disciplined, you got to, eat the right things, sleep the correct amount, work out, even on days you don't want to work out. What does a typical diet look for you on in season, on a typical day?
I probably have the most boring diet out of all of the players I know. So literally every morning I have Greek yogurt and oats, and that's it. And then fast forward a little bit to the afternoon, I'd have a black coffee straight.
No sugar?
No sugar, no milk, nothing pleasant.
Oh, you're disciplined.
And then, that's typically my pre-workout, the black coffee. And then I'd go to training, which is normally around 3-4 o'clock attendance. Finish training, protein shake, of course.
How long does training go for?
I mean, training's typically about an hour and a half, an hour 40, okay. But we're at the club for about 3 hours a day.
Okay.
obviously you have to sign in and stretch after.
Stretch,
and
ice and all that.
Of course. So protein shake straight after training, and then give it maybe an hour or so and go and just have a massive meal.
End of day, towards the end of the day.
Towards about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, not too late. And then, yeah, just before bed, I normally have a protein shake quick and, yeah, hit the sack.
8-9 hours?
8 minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations on being a father.
Thank you so much.
Is it last year or the year before?
It was 2021, April.
April. So almost, it's a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a year plus.
How has that changed your life or perspective on things?
Oh, honestly, it's just changed everything.
Including your sleep schedule.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the least part I loved. But yeah, it's changed everything.
Yeah. Now I know what you mean, that if you're on the road and you have to, you know, be away for a day or two, it must really frustrate you.
Oh, and it's terrible. So, I think the hardest part of it now is being away from my daughter. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah. Best advice anyone's ever given you in life or football? Something you remember?
I've had so many amazing people in my life with so many amazing things that they've shared with me. But probably the most recent piece of advice that has really stuck with me is and I don't even think they knew what they were saying. It just came out randomly. Was if you're going to go for something, never think about what's the worst case scenario and how to avoid it. Always think what is the best case scenario and do everything you can to make that the outcome.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Honestly, it really stuck with me.
Optimism, being optimistic about things.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Because many, many times we go into things thinking, oh my God, what would failure look like? Yeah. You know, how bad are we going to look if we fail?
Yeah.
With a bit of optimism, you can really, you know, go a long way.
100%. Honestly, it has a massive, massive effect. Just like you said, the way you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Massive effect.
I think it was Seneca who said we suffer more in imagination than we do in reality.
Yeah.
We do. Before an exam. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then you get like a B.
Yeah.
And you're like, why the hell was I stressing? Any regrets, Captain Jamal?
I believe everyone has certain regrets in their personal lives, but with regards to football, I honestly don't have any regrets. I just think that every step I've had was a learning curve, and I feel blessed for everything that's happened for me.
Yeah. Is the best moment of your day as a professional footballer, is it when you walk onto the pitch and you're about to play and you hear the crowd in the background? Does that really get you get psyched up for it?
I mean, yeah. Playing with fans, I've tried both, with fans, without fans. And playing with fans is just, it's a completely different experience. You feel, you almost get this different persona. And you just, you're a different person. You just, honestly, sometimes you shine, sometimes you don't. But when you do shine, it's one of the best feelings in the world.
I saw your goal for Thai recently.
Okay.
All right. Scoring. How do you feel when you do? A win is great, but a win in a game that you scored in, is that like a cherry on top?
It's a bit more than a cherry on top. It's like a whole, it's a whole dessert. But
feels good, doesn't
it's
it?
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
contributing to that.
Yeah, and then you have all your like mates running up to you like, cheering with you is just, it's just an amazing feeling.
It's awesome.
Especially when the ball hits the net. It's,
it's
a special feeling.
Yeah. I've been playing goalkeeper all my life, so you know, I try to avoid that sensation. You know, like hearing like stories of people who retired, the one thing they say is that their career went by so quickly, and if only they could savor it. Do you feel like the last 10 years from 20 to 30, did it go quickly or have you been like savoring?
It's gone so quickly.
It has.
I mean, it has its stresses. Football's very, very stressful, but it literally flashes by, and I don't think any footballer ever wants their career to end. Yeah. So.
Would you want to be involved in football in some capacity in future?
I mean, I've been asked this question before. I don't think I'm quite a coach type of person. I'm definitely a player, but things change. So I never know what the future holds.
Yeah. I know you have a flight, and I'm going to just have one more thing I'm going to throw at you.
That's fine.
If you can go back in time to have a word with young Jamal just before he entered juniors, it had at 12 or 13.
Yeah.
If you had the ability to do that and whisper something in your ear back then as an advice to carry, what would that whisper be?
Confidence is the most powerful thing in anything really, but in football especially. Believing in yourself and actually being confident in what you're doing and not letting anything shake that, it has an almost magical effect on your performance as a footballer.
Did you feel that maybe perhaps one day you not being confident in yourself led to not so good of a game that you played in?
100%, many a times.
Really?
Sometimes one thing goes wrong in the football match, and it just shifts you to a completely different kind of mentality, and it, of course, it affects your game.
It's a mind game, huh?
It 100% is, definitely.
Confidence is really what you would tell your younger self. Huh?
Yeah.
Be confident.
Be confident, believe in yourself, and just give it everything you got.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with the rest of the season. I think you have 4 or 5 games left. Five more games.
Yeah.
Then you're going to go to the UK, have some much-deserved time off.
Definitely straight to the UK.
Back for next season again. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me,
giving
honestly.
Me a bit of your time. And we're cheering for you. We love your game. And
thank you.
Always be fans.
Thank you very
much.
Jamal. Thank you.
Cheers.